Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new documentary 5B is playing in select theaters in Chicago. It's the story of the first HIV/AIDS ward in the United States of America.
At San Francisco General Hospital, the staff is gearing up for the opening of a special wing to treat AIDS victims.
It was built by the nurses there.
We were gay, we were straight, we were young, we were old.
And of course, that was a time when nobody even knew how it was spread.
The danger was very real.
AIDS is 100% fatal. We ought to be focusing on what we do to prevent all of us from getting the disease and dying.
You have to get out of the mode that you're here for curing people and really get into the mode that you're here to care for people.
They made the rules as they went along.
We decided that if we can't save these folks, we're going to touch them.
This was a tangible thing you could do. Wash them, put moisturizer on them. You were allowed to love your patients.
The nurses were the real heroes.
They stood up when nobody else would, and they were willing to take those risks.
5B is a tremendous film that tells a story of the HIV/AIDS crisis in 1980 San Francisco and how nurses and caregivers at San Francisco General set up the first ever HIV/AIDS ward to care for patients. Before the ward, patients were subjected to the fears and the stereotypes of the new disease, and doctors and nurses wore hazmat suits and isolated the patients from the outside world. But these caregivers went out of their way to confront that fear, the ugly stereotypes, and the discrimination that was running rampant at the time, and defied standard medical practices to create an environment that, as according to one nurse in the film, was not to provide a cure, but to provide care. And they did. They gave dignity and support when no one else would. It's a true story of heroism and bravery and nurses rising to the occasion. The film is getting great reviews after it premiered at the Cannes Film Fest. And it's my pleasure to welcome two of the stars of the documentary to our studios, Guy Vanderberg, a nurse from Ward 5B, and a patient who survived, Steve Williams. Thanks for being on Extension 720. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so let's get right into this. Why do this documentary? What attracted you to this project?
Well, initially, neither one of us wanted to participate in it. We felt that films about that period of time had been made and usually had been done poorly. And we didn't necessarily want to relive all of it. But Dan Krause is really phenomenal in what he does.
Oscar award winner, yeah.
Absolutely. And he really is a great conversationalist, draws it out of you and makes you feel at ease. And most importantly, I think if you see the film, you realize it is about today, even though we never in anywhere in the film talk about today. It is clear, and fortunately our experience seeing it with audiences is that the audiences feel the same way. This film is about today.
Steve, being a patient who was in the 5B ward, is it hard to tell that story?
You know, it was difficult at first. It brought back a lot of memories, and they weren't all good. But, you know, after I saw it, I totally changed my mind on it. I still cried, but it left me feeling like there was something happening, and hopefully it will continue.
You know, Guy, to go back and see the footage and to relive that time, it is really about reliving it for you. Was it hard to watch it? Was it hard to watch that footage? Was it hard to be in the audience and watching a film that depicts and tells a story of something that you lived through that was so harrowing?
It is a very personal experience. And I have to remember that so many people never got a chance to tell their story. So it is also a privilege. It's a privilege to share our story and to see that it helps to inspire other people.
Let's go to this, because the one thing about it, and I don't know if I even summed it up right in the intro, but this idea that at the time, early 80s, 1981, the AIDS epidemic was really hitting San Francisco and San Francisco General first. There was this idea that nurses and caregivers were afraid of what was happening. They were putting on protective gear. It was almost like a space station, how nurses were approaching their patients.
It was. There was a lot of fear. And certainly, nurses were no different in that regard. That there was fear, and there was a legitimate fear, because initially, we didn't know how HIV was transmitted. I have to say, a lot of us felt from early times that just looking at the patterns, that it was very unlikely that this virus was transmitted airborne or casually through casual contact. But did we know for sure? We didn't.
Right. That's really at the point where the nurses and caregivers had to make a decision. And it was 1983 that this at 5B was created. Mostly because as you apply and understand the medical part of this, you start to recognize that some of the fears and some of the stereotypes, they're just that. And so you get rid of the hazmat suits. You decide that the 5B ward is going to be a place that is almost going to be like hospice in this way that it's going to be very emotional, very personal, very touch. You're not going to wear gloves, things like that. Very little things to people who might be listening right now, but the world for some of the patients involved.
Absolutely. And I came to the ward. It had already moved to 5A at that time. I had just finished nursing school at the time. But before then, I worked at hospice. So I was familiar with that approach. And what I learned was to integrate that approach that we had at hospice. I worked at Coming Home Hospice in San Francisco and did home visits and worked at the hospice. It was to learn how to integrate that approach, that human approach, into nursing. The ward, and you can see this in the footage, most of the patients would have been in an ICU, in an intensive care unit. It was only because the ICUs were full that they were at 5B and then later 5A. But it was very high-tech nursing a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a challenge, and a beautiful challenge, to integrate that high-tech with a human approach and not lose the connection to the fact that there's a human being there.
I was going to say, coming from hospice, and that's the whole idea, is to remember the humanity, the dignity. That really was missing in AIDS care. That's what was missing in the hospitals at that time. There was so much around what was happening. Nobody knew what this disease was. And the patients really were dying without any of the dignity and humanity that comes with hospice. So you can see how that is a logical step to go from one to the next.
Absolutely. And it also, we tend to forget perhaps, but medical science didn't know very much about HIV and about the opportunistic infections. There were opportunistic infections that physicians had never learned about in medical school because they were rare in people with a healthy immune system. And so sometimes patients knew more, were better educated about some of the stuff, and it kind of evened out the medical hierarchy. Medicine is often one of the most hierarchical fields of work, and that changed. Nurses, patients, clinicians, volunteers, we all knew something and we all cooperated. And it really changed. I feel it changed the way hospitals work.
And Steve, I want to get to your story in sure. just a minute, because that's a great place. I mean, it really is the crux of this film, is that it was the nurses, the caregivers, the volunteers who took it upon themselves. It was not some manager at the top of San Francisco General that says, I got this great idea. The nurses, I mean, you went out of your way to say, this is a volunteer. I'm signing up for this. I know what this job entails, and this is the way it is, or we're not doing it at all.
Yes, you're going to let us do this. And so the simple things that now seem self-evident, like who is family? There are many hospitals. I've been to hospitals where lovers were denied visitation rights with their lover, with their husband, because they weren't biologically related, because they weren't officially married. And so that we weren't having any of that. And now that seems normal. But in those days, it was not.
There's a lot of hospital politics in this film, which I was not aware of hospital politics, but it's there and it makes a lot of sense. But there was a lot of pushback from some of the management at the hospital because of risk or whatever else was involved. I think the film does a good job of convincing the audience that it may have been more than just risk at the end of the day. But there was this pushback saying that we're putting our caregivers at risk. This is, we don't know what this disease is. They need to get the hazmat suits back on, and we're not going to stand for it.
Yes. And that's another lesson that we apparently haven't always remembered. When Ebola and Zika and West Nile virus come around, sometimes we have to re-educate hospital management mm-hmm. about what is reasonable and what is not. Some of us wanted to volunteer during the Ebola crisis and were not allowed by our employer to do so. There's always the risk that we go backwards, and so we need to guard against that. And I think I'm so pleased that young people who see this film seem to get it. This is about today. This is not about just about what happened in the 80s.
Okay, I want to take a break, because we'll take the break, because then I want to get to one of the big storylines in the film, which is really about both of you. Steve Williams is here. Also, Guy Vandenberg, who is a nurse at 5A in the film 5B, about the first ever HIV-AIDS ward at San Francisco General back in 1983. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. My guests tonight, Guy Vanderberg and Steve Williams, they are the stars of the new documentary 5B, which is playing in select theaters in Chicago. It tells a story of the first HIV/AIDS ward at San Francisco General Hospital back in 1983 and what the nurses and the caregivers and the volunteers did that really defied medical standard practice to provide dignity and care, end-of-life care for a lot of AIDS patients in the 80s. Steve, you were in 5A, 5B.
Yes.
As a patient. So let's get this story. It's such a big part of the film. It's a great moment, of course, when you appear on screen, because your story is told before you appear.
Yeah.
And it's told in this way that the filmmakers do. Danza does it. Such a great job of telling these stories of people who the inevitable seems to be coming. Mm-hmm. And in your case, we get to see you present day in this documentary. So when did you first contract HIV?
Actually, I think I contracted it in 1994. I was at the end of the ARVs coming in. Yeah. So
the storyline, I want to get to this, and I'm trying to dance around it because I want to be respectful of the film. But the storyline is really about you and Guy, because you guys have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Guy, you know, a lot of the story is about care and how you have to give care and personal care to strangers, but then the nurses talk about friends that are admitted. In this case, it's your partner. Talk about that.
It was very hard, and I may have said this in film. I felt anger about it. I was like, this shouldn't be happening to me, as if I had some kind of ticket. This is some kind of right to not have this affect me this closely. Of course, I already had lost friends and colleagues, but this was new to me. And when Steve got sick, it was upsetting in many different ways. The one thing that made me feel confident was that I knew who to call and where he could go and would be taken care of.
For you, Steve, what was going through your head? Obviously, Guy's a nurse. He's lived his life throughout the 5A ward and the 5B ward. So what's going through your head at this point?
Well, you know, in December of 98, I had shingles, which is extremely painful to have. I didn't quite make the connection between that and HIV for some strange reason, because I used to work at Cunningham Hospice also. I worked there. And then I had shingles again about 2 months later. And then 2 months after that is when I started losing feeling in my leg. I couldn't walk. And that's when I went to the hospital.
At that point, when you went to the hospital, did you have an inkling of what was going on?
No, I had no idea. I had no idea. But, you know, when they said, oh, you have HIV, I was kind of happy, because at that time I knew that there was medications out that could help people. And I was happy that I didn't have meningiomas and all different types of cancers that it could have been.
The fact that you have to go in and deal with this, and obviously, you know, this is a life and death situation, even later in, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. there were medicine at that time that kept it from being such a death sentence like it was in the early part of the 80s. But what did it mean to you to have to go through that? To, you know, send you, oh, I'm glad that it was HIV because it was later in this. But at the same time, your family has gone through so much around this disease.
Right. My parents were there for me. My brother was there for me. So that was really important, that they were there and they cared. You know, it wasn't about me being gay or it had nothing to do with it. They were happy just to be there for me. And I was happy that they were there for me, too.
You know, all the stories that Guy had to bring home with him mm-hmm. and of your friends and community, it's hard to fathom as a viewer of this film that it would strike so close to home after you having to live through so many stories and so many people who this affected. So how does that play out mentally when, yes, you're getting the support of your family, and it's much different than a lot of the stories that are portrayed in the film, but at the same time, this has been such a storyline in your lives?
At the time, I had no idea what was going on, obviously. But after that, after like a year or so, when I got better, I looked back and I saw how sick I was. And I was so happy that the nurses at 5A were there for me. I still try to give back everything that I got, which I know I can't do, but I can give back a little bit. And I think that everybody that watches this film gets that same idea. And you can do anything. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be there giving medications or changing bed linens. It's just there to have a person there to say, I hear what you're going through. I understand it.
Guy, for you to be in the position where you're a nurse, a caregiver, and you have to give that to your partner, in 5A? How do you even process that? I feel like for all the people that have come through the ward and all the things that really is a blurred line between professional and personal, this one's straight up personal.
Yeah, and that was hard to negotiate, obviously. I mean, this was a place where I worked, and then my partner is there, my husband. And so we did try. Like, I would work, when I was working, I would work on the other side of the ward and let my colleagues take care of Steve. When he came home, of course, I took care of him. You have to go on. And so you do what's right in front of you. And then it was such a relief when he got better. And then, not long after he got better, he's talking about giving back. He gave back in the most fantastic way. We were asked to work in Africa. So we worked in Tanzania and in South Africa. And somebody with my last name, sounding like Afrikaans, you know, in a land that had been terrorized by apartheid, it is not easy to be there and help to roll out antiretroviral therapy. I asked Steve if he would come with, and he would like literally stand in the market square and say, "My name is Steve. I was very sick with HIV. I'm taking these meds, and I'm healthy today." It made all the difference.
How did that feel to be able to say that? To say that to people who were going through it?
You know, the area that we're in KwaZulu-Natal had 40% of all women, all people had HIV. And 50% of all young women had HIV. So if you walk down the street, you see two women together, you can guess that one of them has HIV. So it was that prevalent. So I just went there and I started talking. That is what needed to happen because the stigma was so high and people weren't talking about HIV, but every other person you'd see on the street would have it. So I went there and I started talking at churches, at the market square, every place. And I said, "My name is Steve Williams. I'm from the United States. And I have HIV, and I'm doing well." That was it.
This film, as you said so eloquently, Guy, it is about today. It may be, you know, going back 30 years to talk about what's the history of the ward, and there's some tremendous footage to see. But it is about today, and there is something about it that at some point or another, this country will have to reckon with the way that they kind of acted. And you see it in the film, and you see a lot of our leaders and our politicians saying and doing things that in their mind are in crisis mode, but show discriminatory, they're homophobic in a way. Our president at that time waited till 1987 to even say the word AIDS. At that time, I think in the film, they said 21,000 people had already died.
Correct.
When you look at this film, it's a history that needs to be told. Do you see it that way, that it needs to be told about the wrongs that happened at that time? Or is it a more triumphant story about us overcoming what could have been and did at that time be one of the most disastrous diseases in American history?
I think it's both. It's a clear accusation of the inaction of government and of parts of the community, of our society. And it's also hopeful because when I see young people, when we watch the film at screenings with young people in the audience, when you see Reagan say that he wants to deny visa to people who are infected, every young person in that audience makes the connection about what's happening today. We're literally putting kids in cages. On June 1st, a refugee from El Salvador, her name was Johanna Medina, died. She was in ICE custody and was living with HIV. By the way, she was a nurse. And she died in a hospital. ICE brought her there, but it was too late. Mm-hmm. So we have the technology. We know what to do. People don't have to die of HIV. What people die of is homophobia, transphobia. It's always a possibility, and we have to look out for it. And I'm so happy when young people recognize that, and we can, if we recognize it early enough and act, we don't have to go through another disaster with mass casualties. My parents, I'm from the Netherlands, my parents narrowly survived a fascist occupation, and they instilled in me this awareness that when people are othered, when people are marginalized, when people are referred to as vermin, or when neighborhoods are supposedly cleaned up, you have to watch out. You have to watch out, because we're talking about human beings.
The film does a tremendous job of going back and talking about the things that were happening and really painting a picture of the different sides, if you will, which is ridiculous to even say it that way. And even getting a chance to talk to some of those people again who don't necessarily aren't really apologetic about their behavior or what they said at the time, and they almost double down to say it again in the film. Mm-hmm. And there's one moment where at one of the, I guess you would say, the villains in the film, she talks as a surgeon saying, you know, she says the words, I'm not sure, I'm paraphrasing her, but what did the nurses do that was so heroic? Mm-hmm. What did they do? They did their job? So what? I'm a surgeon. What I had to do was much more heroic. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, when I heard that, it makes you think that it's not about her. It shouldn't have been about her. It should have been about the patients. That is what the nurses at 5A made us feel, like they cared about us greatly. I have nothing but praises to say for the nurses that work at 5A.
I would say, there are times where I've actually agreed with Dr. Day, and I don't like being called a hero because it lets everybody else off the hook. She's right in that everybody, you know, what is so special about touching somebody? Everybody can do that. I don't agree that she was at that much more risk. We have plenty of areas of disagreement, especially when she says stuff like public service breeds laziness, or, you know, she should come and work, you know, and she should have come and take a shift. It is true that there is really nothing that difficult about human connection. You just have to recognize the other person as a human being, and then you touch as normal. Somebody's hurting, you help somebody. You know, somebody needs cleaning, you help them. If a child asks you for a glass of water, you give them a glass of water. You don't ask them for their papers or, you know, where they're from and if their parents are, you know, married, or you do what's necessary.
Spoken like a true nurse, by the way. We're not heroes, but I think in this film it proves that you are. 5B is the name of the film, a documentary which is playing in select theaters around Chicago now, the story of the first HIV-AIDS ward at San Francisco General, the first ward in the United States, and really a ward that became the model for HIV-AIDS care around the country, around the world. Mm-hmm. Guy Vandenberg, Steve Williams, my guests, their stars in the film. I can't thank you enough for sharing your story in the film, and also here on Extension 720. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.